Let's take a look at the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly or quickly come to pass. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why this book is so special, which God gave unto him to show unto his bondservants the things which must shortly or quickly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Oh, brethren, if we have ears to hear, we're going to be blessed. This is the only book with such a tremendous promise in it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ even said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. And John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Now these 7 spirits we're going to see again in Revelation 5:6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Hallelujah. And Isaiah speaks of the 7 spirits of God as well. We also see it in chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the 7 spirits of God. Hallelujah. He has the fullness of the spirits of God. We see it again in Revelation 4:5. The 7 spirits of God, and out of his throne, out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Hallelujah. You can see one of the lists of the 7 spirits of God in Revelation 5:12. Power. You know, he's got the spirit of power. Riches. Yeah, he created it all. He's got the spirit of riches. And wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. And strength, the spirit of strength. And honor, the spirit of honor. And glory, the spirit of glory. And blessing, the spirit of blessing. And also, when Isaiah was speaking of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach in chapter 11, he spoke of the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. So this gives you some idea of the 7 spirits of God. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is, yes, he is, he always was, is, he is, and he always will be, is. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is come in the flesh. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. And hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to see, hath made us. Hath made, that's past tense. That's done deal, brethren. And hath made us kings and priests unto God. Glory, hallelujah. Remember what Moses said to the people of Israel. Yeah, and Israel means born again, back in Exodus 19. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, the born-again people. When Moses spoke it, it was future. Now when we see John speaking it again in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 1, it's past tense, brethren. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Hath made, brethren, it's done deal. You shall be made priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Uh-oh. There goes. Pre-trib La La Land rapture just crashed and burned again. No secret rapture, brethren. You see this? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye, not just some super-duper saint select little group. No, no, no. Every eye. God said so. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega, Aleph Tav, the first and the last. Brethren, he's a finisher. And the first verse of the Bible, any Hebrew Torah scroll, the very first thing that's written, Bereshith Elohim Aleph Tav, Eretz, hallelujah. Literally, in the beginning, God's, plural, Aleph Tav, Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ, Elohim, not El, not Eloah, Aleph Tav, Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning and the ending, created heaven and earth. Revelation verse 8 tells us the mystery that these rabbis have scratched their head over. They know Moses didn't make a mistake. They don't know what that Aleph Tav is all about. You can tell them right here. It's the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah, Alpha and Omega, Aleph Tav. Yes, he's the creator. Not just the Redeemer, he's also the Creator. Hallelujah. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Yes, he is the Almighty. Don't let anybody tell you Jesus is an angel. No, no, no. He is either the Almighty, or they got the wrong Jesus. If they have a Jesus who is not the Almighty, not the Creator as well as Redeemer, they got the wrong Jesus. They just as well believe in Harvey the 6-foot invisible rabbit. The real Jesus is the one you better believe in, the one who is the Almighty, the Aleph Tav, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Yes, Creator and Redeemer. Any other Jesus, you just as well believe in Harvey the 6-foot invisible rabbit. Verse 9, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brethren, tribulation is part of the Christian life. Those who seek to escape tribulation do not understand the normal Christian life. Are we somehow better than the apostles? Does God love us super duper saints more than he loves the apostles? Does he love us more than he loves Jesus? Come on. Get real. Tribulation, brethren, the cross, is for us. Tribulation and suffering is a part of the normal expected Christian walk. And it is the kingdom of patience. Antichrist is given power to wage war on the saints, to wear out the patience of the saints. And John They tried to kill him by boiling him in oil, and he just wouldn't cook. God spared him, and he just would not boil in that boiling oil. What a tremendous miracle it was. It scared his Roman executioners. But they eventually put him on this Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Expect it. Tribulation is a part of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we suffer with him, then we also will be glorified with him. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? Brethren, don't let anybody tell you it's the Pope's Sun God Sunday, the first day or the eighth day. No, the Lord's Day has always been the day that he commanded us to remember to keep holy, the seventh day. That's your testimony, brethren. That says who your God is. Which day you sanctify. If you sanctify Friday, then, like the Muslims, you testify that your God is Allah, the moon god, another name for Lucifer. If you sanctify Sunday, like the Pope says you should do, then you sanctify the day that the pagans have always sanctified, the sun god day. But if you sanctify the day, the seventh day, as the creator of heaven and earth commanded it, then you testify that your God is the God who created heaven and earth. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That was the Sabbath day. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, brethren. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Hallelujah. Yeah, when you hear him, you're going to find out he is loud. And what is he going to say? He says, I am Alpha and Omega. There we go again. He is Aleph Tav, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. John was a fisherman. That's loud, the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His name is called the Word of God, a sharp, two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the soul and the spirit, so that one might discern the intents of the heart. God knows the intents of our heart even when we don't. And brethren, the only way that we can discern the intents of our heart is by the Word of God. This Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, which can divide the soul and the spirit and allow us to discern the intents of our heart. This is why we need so desperately to read the Word of God every day. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Yeah, when you see him in his glory, you'll be on your face. You won't fall over backwards. The only people that ever fell over backwards are the people that came with Judas to arrest Jesus. They fell backwards. But God's people, when they see him in his glory, they fall on their face. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, hallelujah, I am the first and the last. That's a command of the Lord, fear not. We fear God right, we will fear nothing else. All through the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God over and over tells his people, fear not, fear not. Don't let your heart be troubled at the fearful things that are coming upon this earth. I am he that liveth and was dead. Because he lives, we don't have to fear death, brethren. He said to Martha, he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the bottom line. We don't worry about that first death. It's appointed to all men once to die, and after that to judgment. It's that second death that we need to be afraid of. We don't want any part of that. We want to be part of the first resurrection. There's only one first resurrection. And those who have part in the first resurrection, they're the blessed and holy ones upon whom the second death has no effect. They don't have to face that second death. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You see, the church is supposed to be salt and light. And it's a sad thing how these 501c3 contracts have removed the salt and the light from the churches. But again, this is the time of the great falling away, the great apostasy. But his body, his faithful remnant, they will be salt and light, light in the midst of this darkness. And we need to learn a little bit more about angels, brethren, because they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister and to help those who are the heirs of salvation. So we should know more about the angels, that God may send them when we need their help, because that's what they are. They are ministering spirits sent forth to help those who are the heirs of salvation. Glory to God. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars. Apostles were chosen, Jesus chose 12, that they might be with him to establish the doctrine of Messiah, the doctrine of the apostles. There are 12 names that are written on the foundation of New Jerusalem. We don't need new apostles with new doctrines. We need to get back to the doctrine of the apostles. And we have the doctrine of the apostles. Here is John recording this doctrine of the apostles. So when somebody comes and tries to present themselves as an apostle to you, just ask him if they really expect you to believe that their name is going to be one of the names written on the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. Jesus chose 12. We don't need new apostles with new doctrine, and that was the main purpose of the apostle, to establish doctrine, to establish the doctrine of Messiah, to establish the doctrine of the apostles, and we have that. And the apostles are ministering as effectively as ever to those who have a King James Version Holy Bible. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Man, what a great church, huh? Wouldn't you like to go to that church? Man, oh man, now watch how the Lord Jesus Christ does this. He always commends them first. If there's something to commend them for, he commends them. Nothing wrong with that. He's not flattering them. If you do right, tell the brother he's doing right. We need the encouragement. We don't need flattery. Don't lie about it. Tell him the truth if he's doing right, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. What a great church, huh? Wouldn't you like to be part of that? Oh, but then look at the next verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Brethren, this is a good church. But even they, with all of those good qualities that the Lord Jesus Christ commends them for, they need to repent. Brethren, if there was ever a day in which you were in closer communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, in which your love for the Lord Jesus Christ ever burned hotter than it does today, something's wrong. We need to repent. We need to remember our first love. Keeping the main thing is the main thing from now on. We need faith. We need to fall in love with Yeshua deeper than we ever have before. Remember your first love. One of the five warnings, there are five warnings in these two chapters and 10 promises. If we take heed to the five warnings, the 10 promises, the 10 fantastic promises are certainty. But remember your first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. The way is the way of repentance. Repentance is not a dirty word. Hallelujah. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. What does that mean? He'll snuff out your light. Brethren, here's another verse that proves that once saved, always saved is probably the number one doctrine of devils. Yes, nobody can take us out of the Father's hand, but we are free to walk away. We are free to move away from that great love. And He'll put our light out. And this is what's happened to so many. We look around and we mourn. We see people falling, and when they fall now, they fall into total darkness. This is a sad thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and it's a fearful, mournful thing to see people how they are falling today. But He commends this Ephesus church because thou hast this one good thing, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You need to know what a Nicolaitane is. The Lord hates them. And we need to know those things that the Lord hates and be sure we don't do it. If the Lord hates it, we hate it too. This Nicolaitane spirit is a spirit of control. It's witchcraft. And this is what goes on so often in the churches. Brethren, we're all kings and priests unto God. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. We obey those who have the rule over us, for they must give an account. And we follow those who we discern to be called of God to be in a position of authority over us as they follow Christ. But there is one head, and that's Yeshua. And if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. The gifts that God gives us are for ministry to others. They're not to puff us up spiritually. They're not to get people to be impressed with our spirituality. We've got to stop this, brethren. This is abomination. I don't want you impressed with my spirituality, and I'm sure not going to be impressed with your spirituality. We need to all be impressed with the spirituality of the Lord Jesus Christ. But part of walking in the Spirit is to recognize the call of God on a man of God and be willingly to submit it to Him. Because if we don't receive the one that God sends, we reject God. We are in the midst of such a rebellious generation that is without reproof. People really stumble over this all the time. They cannot submit to God-ordained authority, and sometimes would even accuse God called God-ordained authority as being of the Nicolaitane spirit when they themselves are working the witchcraft or in deep rebellion. It's sad, but it happens all the time. It's a sign of the times. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last. This Smyrna church, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have anything bad to say to these people. These were people who were poor. These people were suffering persecution. They were cast out and looked down upon by all those in the big churches. Well, there's something important that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here. The devil is going to cast many people into prison. Remember, we must receive this mark in our right hand or our forehead. The Illuminati was behind the French Revolution. Thousands and thousands of people had their heads chopped off in guillotines. There are thousands of guillotines in the United States right now for use in these concentration camps. And you're going to have tribulation 10 days. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. One of the most horrendous, horrible things that there is to watch is execution by a guillotine. Actually, they don't even feel the blade. It's a very humane way, but to look at it, it is absolutely one of the most gory, bloody, horrendous, horrible things to ever see. You'll have tribulation 10 days. You'll be on a list, and for 10 days you'll be forced and required to watch these executions. At the end of each day, you'll be given an opportunity to get out of the execution line sequence by receiving the mark in your right hand or your forehead. But you're going to have to be forced to watch it for 10 days. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and he will give you a crown of life. Brethren, we don't die. Remember this, we don't die. Many people you'll be able to bring into the kingdom of heaven with you if you end up being a faithful witness in these camps. But it's going to be tribulation, and we need to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the grace. Just remember this, we don't die, brethren. We don't die, no matter how bad and gory it looks, and it is bad, and it is gory, and it is great tribulation. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine greater tribulation than watching friends and loved ones getting their heads chopped off in a guillotine. Satan knows what he's doing. This is right out of the pits of hell. This is the devil's way to get people to receive the mark. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And brethren, we don't die. Remember what he told Martha. I am, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the bottom line. If we believe this, we don't die. And we won't even feel that blade of the guillotine, and we'll be instantly with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it's going to be great tribulation. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, you're going to have it 10 days. So we know what the program is going to be in these camps. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, fear not. Don't take the mark. Tell others, don't take the mark. The guillotine may look bad, but it doesn't hurt a bit. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Don't fear that first death, brethren. It's the second death you don't want to have any part of. And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Hallelujah. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone and a new name written in it, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Hallelujah. Again, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ hates this Nicolaitan spirit. Don't get involved in it. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. The other thing that comes up here is Balaam. What about Balaam? What is good old Balaam? Balaam is good old-fashioned profit for profit. P-R-O-P-H-E-T for P-R-O-F-I-T. Good old-fashioned greed. Somebody in the church business. Profit for profit. Teaching that it's okay. Telling the people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. A profit for hire. He's for hire. You can buy him. Give him the money and he'll tell you anything you want to hear. That's good old-fashioned Balaam. You don't need that now, brethren. What you need is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. These people that claim to have seen visions of Jesus, he's just a lovey guy, you know, teddy bear type. Ask him, does he have eyes that are a flame of fire? Yeah, brethren, now the real Jesus has got eyes. We hear it a second time. Here's the second witness. When you see the real Jesus, the way he appears now in his glory, it'll put you on your face in fear and trembling. He has eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Wow, it sounds like a great church, doesn't it? And then here it comes. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brethren, this Jezebel spirit is a spirit that seeks to work manipulations. It's not a direct confrontation like the Nicolaitan spirit of control. But Jezebel, the actual Hebrew word for Jezebel, is a name that means, where is the prince? Where is the prince? Where is the prince? Antichrist? Doesn't matter to me, I'll be raptured before he's revealed. Brethren, that's Jezebel. Pre-trib, la-la land, rapture doctrines is part of what Jezebel is all about. Jezebel literally means, where is the prince? Where is the prince? Antichrist? Doesn't matter to me, I'll be raptured before that happens. That's Jezebel, brethren. It is Jezebel. Jezebel also wants to know, where is the prince, so that she can seduce the leadership. We need to steer clear of these things. To him that overcometh will I give the morning star. Okay, we didn't talk much about that white stone. In that white stone, there's going to be a new name given that only the Lord and the one receives it knows. It's kind of a special love name between the Lord and you. And when you hear that name, you know that the only one who knows that is the Lord Jesus Christ in you. So you can be just as sure as if you read it out of the Word of God when you hear it, because you will be hearing it from the Word of God, because only you and he know that name that's written in that white stone. It's a glorious thing. It will help us get through this great tribulation. And here we see, I will give unto him the morning star. Brethren, do you understand this is what the greater works of John 14:12 is all about? I will give him the morning star, the very power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ himself walked in. Brethren, these are fantastic promises. And if we pay attention to the five warnings, these 10 promises in Revelation 2 and 3, will be a sure thing for us. And what are the five warnings again? And that's what we have to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to the warnings. The promises will be there. What we need to focus on is the warnings. The warnings, number one, remember your first love. Stay in the Word. Read the Word more and more every day. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ greater than you ever have before. Keep the main thing the main thing. That is the main thing from now on. Stay in the Word. Remember your first love. Give no place to Balaam, Nicolaitan, and Jezebel, these three spirits that are going to control and dominate all the churches. And we see it happening. You see it, and it's proof that this war in heaven has been concluded, because these spirits are running rampant in the churches. Balaam, good old-fashioned greed, profit for profit, tickle the itching ears, tell them what they want to hear instead of what the Word of God actually says. Nicolaitan, spirit of control, witchcraft. Jezebel, where is the prince? Pre-trib rapture doctrine and seducing not direct confrontation type seducing like Nicolaitan, but subtle seduction. And the final one is strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Brethren, we need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Those are the five warnings. And those five warnings, if we pay attention to those five warnings, those 10 fantastic promises will be there.